We're going to back up just a few months to see. I'd like to read a little bit from Luke. We read, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at her words and wondered what kind of greeting this was. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus." Mary was just going about life, looking forward to marrying Joseph, and boom, her world got turned upside down. You know, if an angel appears to you and you know it's the good kind of angel, that would get your heart beating. I know it would mine. But then the message she had was incredible. The virgin, you, a virgin, are pledged to be married, are going to have a son, but not by your fiancé, but by the power of God. Then she's given the instructions, go tell your fiancé. That would have been scary too. But thankfully, God had prepared the way. She had to take that step. But once she got there, then he could confirm, "I know it's going to be all right, darling." And because God sent an angel, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." We're going to talk more about the journey of Jesus, but keep in mind from the very beginning, why was Jesus coming? To save his people from their sins. Well, what I love is that at the beginning of Mary and Joseph's journey, they're eventually going to get to Bethlehem, and that we're going to see that God is going to care for them every step of the way. Notice, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Mary, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. God is looking out for him. God is caring for them. Well, on the first journey that Mary made, Joseph didn't come. Because just as soon as she became pregnant, and told Joseph, well, she went to go find her cousin Elizabeth. And in Luke 1, we read, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home." So that was the first journey, though we're going to call it the pre-journey because of our slide we'll see in just a minute. Well, the next journeys are going to include dad, mom, and the baby in and out of the womb. And journey number one is going to be from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Well, if you were to take that trip today, it's roughly 100 miles by road, and it takes about 2 hours. That's not too bad. As the crow flies, it's roughly 70 miles. But as you and I know, Joseph and Mary weren't crows, so they had to take the long route. And that would include the scenic route and a lot of up and down. You know, doing some figuring, if they hiked at 2.5 miles per hour for roughly 8 hours a day, it would take them at least 4 days. You know, that 8 hours wouldn't include rest, breaks, bathroom time, setting up or tearing down camp. No, that was 2.5 miles an hour for 8 solid hours of walking, and that would probably get them there. Historical records, basically 20 miles is kind of about the extent people would go at that time. But remember, it wasn't a walk in the park. It wasn't paved. It was not smooth. It was up and down. People could have done it in 4 days. But there was kind of a challenge in that if you were to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, right smack in the middle is Samaria. You may remember hearing about the Samaritans. The Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. They didn't like each other. And there was a lot of hostility during the time. You know, perhaps Mary and Joseph didn't have any particular problems with the Samaritans, but they would have known that the Samaritans would have a particular problem with them, and therefore they would have to kind of go around. It could have been dangerous. They might have been harassed. They certainly would have been refused lodging, and it might have been extra hard to get supplies along the way. Oh, you're Jews? Beat it. And therefore, they'd have to go even farther around. I'm guessing since Joseph really did care for Mary, we're told that in the scripture, and he wanted the best for them, he would seek to protect her and keep her away from unnecessary harassment and hassles. So they'd have to go take a detour from Galilee across the Jordan and then back into Judea farther south. And that would have added more miles and difficulty to the journey. Also keep in mind, she's pregnant. Now, we don't know exactly how pregnant. We don't know if she was in Bethlehem for 6 hours before the baby came, or we know it was less than 6 months, certainly. But the fact is, I've known a lot of pregnant ladies. I've lived with one, and I have a feeling, let's go on a 90-mile hike, honey. Doesn't sound like fun. You know, we did take some hikes, but not quite that far. And so I'm guessing they had to go at a slightly slower pace. Well, last time we did it in 4 days and 20 miles a day, but that was last time. You know, you can see there is a difference now. And so some people think maybe they only went about 10 miles a day. Well, think about that, ladies. Let's just say you're 9.5 months pregnant. 10-mile hike, sound good, up and down the hills, carrying all your stuff for the next who knows how long? I don't know. Well, when Brett and I hiked, we did it over 11 days, and we hiked between 5 and 12.5 miles, depending on the campsites. And the reason we did that is because you can only camp in the designated campsites, and you got to have a permit, and it's very strict. So we kind of had to do things. And then we had to apply months in advance in order to even get permission to apply for permits and campsites, because the challenge was, it is possible to hike around Mount Rainier with no permits, but that also means you have 30-mile days, three of them. And I knew this 54-year-old body was not going to hack that. Maybe Brett could do it, but he'd have to be carrying all my gear, and I'd be barely making it. And other people we knew, they got permits, and they only had 6 days on the trail. Well, 15 and 18-mile days are just not in my vocabulary anymore. And so I'm just guessing they went a little slower. But the fact is that Mary and Joseph, they would have been used to very hard work. In fact, it made me think about times when we were in Southeast Asia. We'd be in tribal areas, and there'd be these very short, very wiry, incredibly strong tribal folks. And they could hike up and down jungle trails, work all day, go all night with no problem whatsoever. And every missionary story I've read, about the past or the present, the tribal folks can hike the missionaries into the ground. They just keep going and going, throw more gear on them. You think of the Sherpas carrying 90-pound packs up Mount Everest. I mean, these are strong folks. Well, back in the days of the Bible, there was no easy living. Mary and Joseph would have been strong. They would have been tough. But didn't necessarily mean it was easy or fun. Also, you got to think about what time of year it was. It could have been December. Scholars and historians aren't exactly sure. But either way, you hike in the summer, it's burning hot. It's hard to find water. You hike in the winter, it rains. It's rainy season between October and April in Israel. At night, it gets below freezing. In fact, they started keeping track of Bethlehem's weather, and the record low is 25. So that doesn't sound like fun, sleeping outside. Typically, December, January lows are in the 40s, kind of ranging up and down. But they would have had to carry extra clothes. I don't think they had any kind of a tent. They weren't super well-to-do folks. This was not going to be a fun journey, regardless of the time. I mean, there were no decent roads. They didn't have convenient lodging. They couldn't stop to get groceries in many places. So this would have been difficult. They also would have needed to probably stop and light a fire, and that takes time. So let's say you hike 10 or 20 miles, pregnant ladies, go find some wood. That doesn't sound like a good deal either. This would have been challenging. But you know, it wasn't just the trail that was tough. Also, there was the heavily forested valley of the Jordan River. And literally, there were signs that archaeologists have uncovered that have said, basically, watch out for lions and tigers and bears. Well, not tigers, but wild boars as well. And there were other signs that said, beware of the two-legged critters, because there were lots of bandits. This was not an easy journey. We just read, and you know, you just got Mary smiling as she's on her donkey, I guess, and I guess I'm assuming that's Mary on a donkey and not Joseph. But anyway, but this might have been really hard. And many times when they traveled, they would go in a caravan for protection. Because think about it. They're headed to go pay their taxes. They're carrying money. Guess what thieves like to do? Get people with money. But meanwhile, she's really pregnant. So I have a feeling she's going a tad slower than maybe the group wants to go. They may or may not have been on their own in the caravan. So that's dangerous. Then again, how much, you know what it's like when you travel as a family. We bought a minivan and we didn't realize it was the caravan instead of the grand caravan. That extra foot in the back makes a huge difference when it comes to stuffing stuff in. Well, think about, you got your donkey and a few saddlebags. You've got to take your food, your clothing. They're going to be gone probably at least, if they meant four days there, stay in there, and 4 days back, though I'm sure it was longer. That's a lot of gear, you know, and plus, she's pregnant, going to have a baby. Where are you going to put the pack and play and the diapers and the rattle? And, you know, there's a lot of stuff you got to carry. You know, when we went, Brent and I went on our hike, it was to explore God's creation, to be able to hopefully say we did it at the end. But why were they on this journey? They weren't going on vacation. Imagine you having to walk 90 miles to go pay your taxes. Does that sound like fun? So we'll all hop, or lace up our sandals, and we got to walk to Eugene to go pay Uncle Sam. That doesn't sound like fun. Though they may have thought, well, while we're there, we'll have less money, but we'll get to see Great Aunt Mabel. I don't know. That could have been cool. They were going to see their family. But nevertheless, this would have been hard. So basically, I'm trying to help you see that I don't think that, you know, Mary was some light-skinned, blue-eyed blonde dressed in a white, unblemished robe who had a glow about her that spent her days singing hallelujah and never touched any laundry. Life was hard, but she was, I'm sure, tough, like everyone had to be. She probably began her day by preparing a meal, perhaps a bread and olive oil with dried fish. Then you got to go collect water, and you got to store it, you've got to prepare a fire, bathe and wash clothes. This is tough. Her days would be long, so would Joseph's. So yes, they were tough, but still, anytime you got to hike 90 miles, that's a big deal. Plus, they lived under the Romans. That wouldn't have been easy either. Well, let's jump into Scripture and see what happens in Luke 2. We read, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. Due to Caesar's decree, you better get your taxes paid. By this point, they started to make their way. I've been told the taxes are due April 15th, but I'm sure the government's happy to collect tomorrow. But anyway, you may not have your forms yet. But nevertheless, they had to travel. Some people may have only had to go to the next town. Some people may be still living where their ancestors were, didn't have to travel at all. Mary and Joseph, though, had 90 miles. Webster's defines a journey as traveling from one place to another, usually taking a rather long time. Now, I know Vince and Melinda are traveling to the Caribbean, and they probably don't care how long it takes, long as they are there. Though, probably you don't want 16 hours at every airport either. But nevertheless, a long journey taking a long time. That would sum up the travels of the Magi, but also to some degree what they were going through. Well, in Luke 2, we also see, actually, Luke is very short about what he says. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. All we really read is he went up. Well, why did he go up? Because Bethlehem is 1,500 feet higher up in elevation. Now, that doesn't mean that they weren't going like this the entire time, and then eventually Nazareth, and then they eventually got up. This was a long journey. They were going up and down a lot. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. Life was hard in Bible times, but they just kind of got on with it. But I wonder what the conversation was like as they traveled. They had at least 4 days, probably more like 10. I wonder if Joseph complained about taxes and how much it was going to cost him. And probably getting there, the tax collectors would be trying to get as much out of him as they possibly could, so he might have to take extra. That wouldn't have been fun. He might have complained about, boy, if we're gone for extra week, I'm going to make less money working. This is tough, you know. Who knows, Mary may have been having cravings and trying to find a store selling pickles and peanut butter or something. I don't know. But we're told they go up from Galilee into Judea. And Bethlehem's in the Judean mountains, and there is rugged terrain. Well, Bethlehem means house of bread, which is interesting because the Christ child is going to be born there. He's going to give him himself, and he's going to himself say, I'm the bread of life. Well, under normal circumstances, when they would travel, they would go and stay with family. But evidently, well, we read, there were so many people, there wasn't room, and there wasn't even room at the inn. And so the place is overcrowded. We don't know how many animals were there, but we know there had to be some because that's where the baby Jesus was laid in the manger. There's lots more on the story, but I thought it'd be interesting to not just cover this journey, but the rest of the journeys that Jesus took while he was a little kid. And you can put the slide up, Callie. So they traveled from Bethlehem, from Nazareth, for the sake of the census, which is journey one. So you can see him kind of coming down from the top down to Bethlehem near the Dead Sea. Well, Jesus is born there in fulfillment of prophecy in Micah 5. But on the eighth day after Mary gives birth, he's circumcised according to the law. And then 40 days later, after all the purification rites that Mary had to go through were done, according to Leviticus 12, they traveled to Jerusalem, which is about 6 miles. Whether they went up and over, I don't really know. But they made a 6-mile journey, and there they made an offering of 2 young birds because they were poor. While they're there, they met Simeon, who prophesied that this child was destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Before Mary and Joseph left the temple, they returned home, Before they left and returned home, they met Anna, a widowed prophetess who lived in Jerusalem. From there, though, at some point, they made their way back to Bethlehem, because we find in Matthew 2. Meanwhile, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." At some point, they made the third journey back to Bethlehem because that's where the Magi found them. Matthew 2:11 mentions that they, on coming to the house, and so obviously they were no longer in a stable or a manger. I guess they wouldn't have been in the manger anyway, but nevertheless. At this point, the wise men leave and Joseph is given instructions by God, which is going to lead to their journey south, number 4. When they'd gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Herod ends up fulfilling the prophecy from Jeremiah, and he kills the innocent children trying to find the baby Jesus. This journey, number 4, is at least 40 miles, and it takes them from Bethlehem to Egyptian-controlled territory where Herod can't get them. Well, they live there for a time. And then we find in Matthew 2 the description of what happens, and which leads to journey 5. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in place of Judea, in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth, incidentally, where they started out. So it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He'll be called the Nazarene." That ends up fulfilling Hosea 11:11, where it said, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So here they are. They're getting ready they find out Herod the Great is, Herod is dead. They begin to head north. Then they found out one of his sons, who is a bad guy, is in charge of the area. And they said, we don't want to stay there. So they head to another area where another one of Herod's sons, who's not quite so wicked, is. In fact, this guy Archelaus, one of the king's sons, at one point, according to Josephus, the historian, he'd had 3,000 people killed in the Jerusalem temple during Passover because they were making a protest against him about something. Well, nevertheless, they make their way all the way to Journey 5. But that doesn't mean their traveling days are over, which is interesting because we read in Luke 2, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. So they're in Nazareth, and they keep going back and forth to Jerusalem. You go up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was higher in elevation. So basically, they got to do this every year, 90-mile hike. And it wasn't the... Mary simply had Jesus, one pregnancy, and was over and done with it. No, she had multiple. Jesus had brothers and presumably sisters. And so she had to keep making this 90-mile hike, hopefully not always having to pay taxes, though. So think about that, an additional 180-mile round-trip hike every year. Well, Jesus would end up staying in Nazareth until his ministry began, and then he'd move to Capernaum, which is a little bit right about where the E on Galilee is. Well, let's leave Mary and Joseph behind for the time being and turn ourselves to Jesus. He didn't start his journey in the womb of a poor, young, virgin Jewish girl. He didn't come onto the scene, and that he wasn't born in a stable. No, he had always existed. He made his human entrance that way. But he had always existed for eternity past. And Jesus is really one that traveled a lot. He didn't just watch from heaven to see what was going on. No, the whole story is about him stepping in and getting involved with our lives, seeing our suffering, seeing our struggles, and wanting to do something about it. We read in Philippians that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he became made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here, Jesus lives in perfection and beauty and glory in heaven. And he chooses to embark on a journey to earth where he teaches, he heals, he forgives, he does incredible things. And eventually he hangs on a cross. Thankfully, he doesn't stay there. No, he comes back to life and he ascends to the Father. It's interesting, Joseph and Mary, they really made their way around, but Jesus has done even more than that. Well, why would Jesus make this trip to earth the first time? Well, among other things, he came to call sinners. He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He also came to serve. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to proclaim good news. He came to seek and save the lost, and that's what he said. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came so the world could be saved. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came so people wouldn't have to remain in darkness. And he came for judgment. He said in John 9, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And the way to avoid judgment is, well, Acts lays it out. Repent and turn to God so your sins may be wiped out and refreshing come from the Lord. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. If you do, you can experience another reason he came. In John 10:10, he said, I have come, they may have life and have it abundantly. Well, it's interesting. While he was on this earth, he did take another journey. And Luke 9 tells us, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, he set out for Jerusalem, and he did that because that's the place where he would die for us. Jesus took this difficult step for us, and because of his journey, we can have hope in our journey. The Bible tells us God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're unsure about Jesus, let me encourage you. Read his word. Talk to those who have known him. He loves you. The whoever believes will have eternal life means you as well. No matter the journey you're on, I hope you'll choose to lace up your boots and begin a new one. The biggest journey of all was heaven came down to earth so those on earth can go to heaven and be with him. What a story and what a journey. Lord, we thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you for all you've done. You are a good God, and we love you and praise you. Thank you that you stepped in to darkness to bring us light and to bring us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, even from Mary and Joseph, who had a lot of walking to do in their lives. You were with them every step of the way. It's in your name I pray. Amen.